Chapter 143. Westlock, and heaven only them about the lassie knows you can repulge in. Who could repulge in Betsy Prigg? Arter her words of Mrs. Harris, sitting in that chair afore my eyes. ' quite true, ' said John, quite. I hope you'll have time to find another assistant, Mrs. Gamp. ', between her indignation and the teapot, her powers of comprehending what was said to her began to fail. She looked at John with tearful eyes, and murmuring the well-remembered name which Mrs. Prigg had challenged, as if it were a talisman against all earthly sorrow, seemed to wander in her mind. I hope, repeated John, that you have time to find another assistant? Which short it is, indeed, cried Mrs. Gamp, turning up her languid eyes, and clasping Mr. Westlock's wrist with matronly affection. Tomorrow evening, sir, I waits upon his friends. Mr. Chuzzlewit appointed it from 9 to 10. ' said John, with a significant glance at Martin. And then Mr. Chuffey retires into safekeeping, does he? He needs to be kept safe, I do assure you, Mrs. Gamp replied with a mysterious air. Other people besides me has had a happy deliverance from Betsy Prigg. I little know it, that woman. She'd have let it out. Let him out, you mean, said John. Do I? Retorted Mrs. Gamp. Oh. The severely ironical character of this reply was strengthened by a very slow nod, and a still slower drawing down of the corners of Mrs. Gamp's mouth. She added with extreme stateliness of manner, after indulging in a short doze, but I am a keepin' of you gentlemen, and time is precious. Mingling with that delusion of the teapot which inspired her with the belief that they wanted her to go somewhere immediately, a shrewd avoidance of any further reference to the topics into which she had lately strayed, Mrs. Gamp rose, and putting away the teapot in its accustomed place, and locking the cupboard with much gravity, proceeded to attire herself for a professional visit. This preparation was easily made, as it required nothing more than the snuffy black bonnet, the snuffy black shawl, the pattens and the indispensable umbrella, without which neither a lying in nor a laying out could by any possibility be attempted. When Mrs. Gamp had invested herself with these appendages, she returned to her chair, and sitting down again, declared herself quite ready. It's a happiness to know as one can benefit the poor sweet creeter, she observed, I'm sure. It isn't all as can. The tortures Betsy Prigg inflicts is frightful. Closing her eyes as she made this remark, in the acuteness of her commiseration for Betsy's patience, she forgot to open them again until she dropped a patten. Her nap was also broken at intervals like the fabled slumbers of Friar Bacon, by the dropping of the other patten, and of the umbrella. But when she had got rid of those encumbrances, her sleep was peaceful. The two young men looked at each other, ludicrously enough, and Martin, stifling his disposition to laugh, whispered in John Westlock's ear, "What shall we do now?" "Stay here," he replied. Mrs. Gamp was heard to murmur Mrs. Harris's in her sleep. "Rely upon it," whispered John, looking cautiously towards her, "that you shall question this old clerk, though you go as Mrs. Harris herself. We know quite enough to carry her our own way now, at all events, thanks to this quarrel, which confirms the old saying that when rogues fall out, honest people get what they want. Let Jonas Chuzzlewit look to himself, and let her sleep, as long as she likes. We shall gain our end in good time." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.